to be able to get into God's Word and share about who Jesus is. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you are missing out. One of the things that convicted me about as I was praying about the messages this week was I was helping with Brother Lynn Stapleton over in Huntingdon several weeks ago, and we were in a conversation. He was telling me about Brother Tom and Sister Sarah when they came over from Kenya to America. And he told me something that Sister Sarah had said, and it really has stuck with me. It's one of those moments where you hear something that just kind of stings you. And she said that here in America, everybody talks about everything else except Jesus. And that stuck with me. That so many times we talk about everything else except Jesus. And it really made me think about how well do I know Him, and how much I need to know Him more. And as the sister said just a little while, of how much more I need to tell other people about Him. Because He's more than a song. He's the reason that we sing. He's more than a message. He is the messenger from on high. He's the Son of God. He is my everything, my all in all. And I want everybody to know about Him, because if not for Him, I would have absolutely no hope tonight. If I didn't know Him, there's no way that I could be forgiven. If I didn't know Him, there's no way I could go to heaven. The door would be locked. Unless the door of grace were extended from heaven downward, there was no way that we could make it in. Have you ever been locked out of your car or your home? I'm going to share a few of my blunders, but I have. There's been occasions that I've been locked out of my car, and I look over on the other seat, and I realize I grabbed something else, and I left my keys in the car, and I got out. And the doors were locked. I also found some other way to get in. Anybody ever tried the coat hanger? And you sit there and you try to pop that lock, and maybe that's in the older days. Now you try to punch the electric lock and try to do everything you can. But isn't it really hard to, when you have a really lightweight coat hanger, to push heavy on that car lock? It's hard to do it, but it can be done. You can try to find your way into your car some other way. Same thing has happened at home. Now, before I get any further, let me remind you, I want to tell everybody here that anytime I've gotten into my car or anybody else's car, it has been by permission. It's been because they've asked me to help them get in their car or their home. Let me go ahead and say that before we get any further. I'm not trying to give any crazy ideas. But we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a lot that's covered under the blood. Praise God, there's a lot covered under the blood that I don't have to share with you tonight. Thank God for Jesus. Without Him, I definitely have no hope. But the same trick with a car or with a house. There's been times that I've walked out or I've gone off with a friend and I forgot the garage door opener. Have you ever been stuck like that? You've been with somebody else and you think, I can get in because I know where the spare key is at. But then the storm door is locked. And the garage door is locked, and there's no way, even though you do have a key, there's no way you can get in because you have no access through the right door that you need to get into. So we can find ourselves in predicaments, and we often find some other way to get in our ingenuity. But tonight, as we consider who Jesus says He is in John chapter 10, You may have been able to find some other way to get into your car or your home. But when it comes to getting right with God and going to heaven, there is only one way. There's only one door. The world is filled with many so-called paths to heaven. But everyone that does not have the key of repentance and faith and walk through the door of salvation by grace will not make it into those pearly gates. And tonight I don't want you to find yourself locked out. Do you know that feeling when you are standing outside of your car and your keys are in the seat, or you're standing outside of your home and you can't get in and you know it's going to cost you at least $100 to call the locksmith to get you in? You're thinking, I could have gone out to Ruth's Chris and eaten a steak for that amount of money because of my silliness of just leaving the keys in the car or in the house. You know that feeling of, man, I should have paid more attention. I should have been more careful. Well, tonight as we engage this passage, I pray that you'll consider your soul and that you will pay attention. That you'll be very careful, that you will listen to what God has to say through His holy words. Because being locked out of your car or your house, it's a temporary discomfort that might cost you a few dollars to get it fixed, but to be locked out of heaven, to be unable to go to heaven, and it's going to be an everlasting torment. It's going to be something where when you're standing outside of your home, you're thinking, well, where did I lay my keys? But when you are locked out of heaven because of unbelief, you're going to end up being there in hell thinking, well, what should I have done different? Man, I should have listened. So tonight, let's consider Jesus Christ, the door. The door. Do you know when He describes Himself, He doesn't say He's a door. He says He is the door. He's speaking emphatically, He's speaking authoritatively, and He's saying that I'm the only way into the sheepfold. As we consider this subject before us, I want us to break it down into two thoughts. The first one is the endless pursuits of man to find another way. The endless pursuits of man to try to find another way. The second point is really simple. The entrance provided by God. The entrance provided by God. He has a door of grace that you can pass through tonight as He calls out to you. Let's read in John chapter 10. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus has stepped down from heaven, and He is declaring to the world who He is. He's the bread of life. Whoever shall come unto Him shall never hunger or never thirst. He is the light of the world, that whoever follows after Him shall not walk in darkness. And He says here in this passage that I am the door, that whoever enters in by me shall be saved. Isn't it wonderful to know that you can be in that sheepfold that's protected, safe from all harm, that you know that you can have that security from Him tonight? And He opens up in this 10th chapter. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, He is saying that I am speaking absolute truth to you. If you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. Listen to what he has to say. And he says that there are enemies that are trying to creep in some other way. Notice verse 1. This really stood out to me because I see it all around us. If you were to ask everybody in the world today, do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to a place where there is relief from this present evil world? Do you want to go to a place where there's comfort and there's joy and there's love? Many people would say, yes, I want to go, all the way to the youngest children. They would say that, I want to go. But I'll tell you that Jesus says that there is no other way except by Him. But in this first verse, He says that the thief and the robber, that as you would have this sheepfold, that oftentimes the shepherd would bring his sheep in for the night, and he would have this rock wall that was so high that only had one entrance. It could have been circular or it could have been a square, but every night as the shepherd brought his sheep in, he would count those sheep and he would make sure they all got into that sheepfold, and then he would often lay himself down at the door or the entrance of that sheep, or he would have a porter or a watchman that would be there to make sure all the sheep are inside the door and safe and sound. And Jesus is saying that the thief and the robber, they would come and they would try to climb over that wall and they would try to find some other way in. But Jesus said, hey, that will not work. In the immediate context, as we understand the Scriptures, the Pharisees were very hostile to Jesus. They actually hated Him and wanted Him to be killed. And the most recent episode that John records for us is that there was a man in John chapter 9 that was born blind. And it was on the Sabbath day, and Jesus was there, and this man was born blind, and he had been blind for many years. He was of age. I don't know exactly how old he was, but he was up in years. And Jesus there on that Sabbath day saw this man suffering, and he knelt down and he got some dirt and made some clay with spittle, and he put it on his eyes, and he told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he did, he received his sight back. Now for the Pharisees, they said that Jesus had broken the law. But what they had done, what Jesus had done, He had actually broken their additional laws that they had created to try to earn their salvation. See, they were trying to find some other way, that if I do this and this and this, they'd added this oral tradition on top of the law that you couldn't put dirt together or till the ground or whatever it was, something minute. They were trying to say, you see how blind they were, that this man could see. This man's eyes, who had never been able to see a single thing, not only was his physical eyes open, but toward the end of the chapter, he said he was asking about the Savior, and Jesus said, I am Him, I am Him. And he said, I believe, Lord. And he worshipped Him right there on the spot. So this man that was born blind, he was able to not only see physically, but he was able be able to see spiritually that Jesus was the Son of God. God was saving sinners all around, but the Pharisees were blind, and they were, although they could see physically, they were spiritually blind. Because in chapter 9, verse 24, it says, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They were trying to say this about Jesus, that he is a sinner because he had broken their laws. In verse 29, he said, we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Do you know they had it all wrong? You may be here tonight, you may say, there's got to be some other way. There's got to be some other way. If I just take care of my family and I provide a good home for my wife and my children, or if I stay going to church and I go to school and I get a good job and I get married and I have children of my own and I keep them in church and I do those religious things, then certainly I should get in. But The Pharisees were trying to find some other way. They're actually arguing with Jesus. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. In actuality, they said, hey, we're trying to lead other people to God. But they were blind in themselves and could not see the truth. But do you know that this same old story is, it's as old as history. That men have tried to find some other way. Some other door, some other avenue to get right with God. Some other way to get to heaven. Let's examine just a few of those. If we go all the way back to even Genesis chapter 4. Do you remember the man named Cain? Who had a brother named Abel that they were there and they were to bring offerings and sacrifices to God. And Cain went out to get the best of his crops and he brought them as an offering to the Lord. And then Abel came and brought the best of the flock that he had, that he brought a blood sacrifice and he had it there before the Lord. And it said the Lord took notice of that blood sacrifice, but of Cain's he did not take any notice. And notice how Cain responded to the door and the avenue. God says, you must worship me through the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the blood, there is no door that can be opened. Without the blood, as He said there in the days of the Exodus, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That without the blood, there's no safe travel in this life. But Cain, instead of saying, hey, I do not want to go through that door, it said that Cain was very wroth. He became angry because many, when they hear the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and they realize there's no other door except through Him, automatically pride rises up in our hearts that certainly I, because who I am, I can find another way. Because everybody tells me I need to go through Jesus, but they really don't know who I am. They don't know how good I am, how much I am filled with ingenuity, and I can find a different way and all of this, But Cain was just like that. He had this attitude that God said, you must come through this door. And God even gave him a chance. He said, if you'll do well, He gave him a second chance. If you'll do well, then I'll accept it. If you'll do what I've asked you to do, I'll take care of you. I'll watch over you. But he said, if you don't, sin is crouching at the door and it will devour you. And he was giving us a picture of a roaring lion that would be right there, that if he didn't come God's way, his pride and anger would take him to a place that he never would think that he'd want to go. But he was right there. God gave him a chance. But he chose to not walk through the door. And he tried to find another way. And God put a mark on him for the rest of his life. Never had an opportunity to be saved again. What about in the days of Noah? Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, I believe, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. In the days of Noah, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He would have preached the same message that perhaps I'm telling you tonight, that Jesus Christ is the door. Amen. There's only one door. There's only one way to get in. That's what Noah preached. Isn't it amazing that as we stand here on the truth of what the Apostle John said, it would be the same thing that Noah would have preached, that God gave me a commandment to build this incredible ark that was over 450 feet long, but He said, I want you to have it 3 stories high, but in that big ark, I want you to only build 1 single door. There will be only one way, Noah, that you'll be able to get in, and you need to tell everybody around you that my wrath is coming on this wicked world and on this sin all around me, that you must come in this one door. That was a picture of these very words that Jesus would say one day, that I am the door. But yet many in that day, in the days of Noah, said there's got to be some other way. But oh, when that water began climbing and people got to the highest mountains they could find, and the water from the below and the water from above began closing in on them, they began to think that Perhaps that old preacher man Noah was right. Because we've been running all over the place trying to find another way for safety from God's wrath, but there is no other way, and they died in their sins, locked out from heaven. What about those in the days when they were building the Tower of Babel? They thought they might reach God by building a tower so high. But God confounded their languages and scattered them and said, "There's no other way." What about Naaman? You remember old Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5? It said he was an upstanding man. Perhaps a 5-star general in the army. But he was struck down with leprosy. Much like a sinner is tonight, that we can put on a nice coat and put on a nice face, but on the inside we're filled with sin, with no remedy. And Naaman had a servant girl that he had captured there that was helping his wife, and perhaps she was taking care of the cooking and folding of the laundry or whatever it was. He said, "Oh, if Naaman could just hear about that prophet that's over there in Israel, that I know that man could tell him how he could be cleansed from that leprosy, that disease." And he went over there to Israel. He asked his king to leave to be able to go. And he went over there. And when he got there, the king said, "Hey, I can't do this. Are you trying to provoke a war? I can't heal you from your leprosy." And old Elisha got word from that. He said, "Bring him on down here to me." And Naaman came with great pride, thinking that Elisha was going to come out and do some kind of ceremony to make him well. You know, there's many in the world today that think that I can get saved by going through some set ceremony. Whether it's getting sprinkled as a baby, or whether it's even getting baptized by immersion, all of those things. But I'll tell you that this water back here won't save you. The blood's got to come first. There's only one way in through the door. You've got to be saved by His grace. There's many that want to come through many different ceremonies, but Naaman found out that I've got to come God's way or no way at all. And Elisha said, "Here's what you've got to do. You've got to go down there to that dirty river Jordan, and if you'll go down there and you'll wash in it 7 times, if you'll go down that first time, second time, third time." Once again, Naaman was angry. His servant said, "Why are you so angry? It's just a simple thing that the prophet is telling you to do. Just go down there to the Jordan." He said, "I don't want to do that. I want to go to these beautiful rivers over in our country that are clear and they're not as dirty and all of these other things." But he said, "If you'll just listen to the prophet, you know that you could be cured from your leprosy." You know, when we tell people the simple truth about Jesus, many buck up in pride and anger that I'm going to find out some other way because I'm just not going to bow before God and call out to Him. But you know what? When Naaman listened, he'd listen all the way. You may be here tonight and you may say, "Well, I'm going to find some other way. I'm not going to humble myself tonight in this church house. I'm going to wait until I go home, and I'm going to wait until next week, or I'm going to wait until I get a little bit older." I'll tell you, if God's calling out to you, because the shepherd knows his sheep, and when he begins calling and saying, "Hey, you need to come into this fold, it's time for you to come unto me," that he's drawing you, it's time for you to come. You can't say, "I'm going to find some other way." But when the shepherd is calling, when he's calling your name, you need to humble yourself before him and call out that you might be saved. Amen. When Naaman listened, it said he went down that first time, nothing happened. That second time, nothing happened. The third time, nothing happened. If you've been here and you've sought the Lord time after time after time, and you might say, "Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get it." If you'll just come His way, if you'll humble yourself and say, "Lord, I need to walk through that door, and I can't get through that door, but I know You can get me through that door." Then when you listen, Naaman went down that
fourth time and that fifth time and that sixth time. If he had given up right there, the healing wouldn't have taken place. He would have been the same man as he was when he came. But when he listened to that prophet to go down that seventh time, when he came back up and said, his flesh was like smooth like a baby. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, God can, though your sin be as scarlet, you can be washed as white as snow. Judas Iscariot thought there was another way too, didn't he? He thought that if I can just be associated with Jesus. You know, there's many people that we live in a culture that people like to name drop. That I know so-and-so and I know so-and-so. Somewhat, part of that is we have relationship. But another part of that is there's an element of pride to that. That, oh yeah, I know this person, I know that person, and I know this person, and I know that person. And Judas might have been that kind of guy as well. That, oh, I know Jesus. I've been walking with Him for 3 years. But you know what? Even though he was associated with Jesus, he didn't walk through the door. He loved his money more than he loved and valued Jesus. The rich young ruler was the same way. You know that you can walk all the way up. You actually run to the door. It says in Mark chapter 10 that this rich young ruler, he was searching out and he was wondering, what good thing, good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And he came running. But when Jesus told him what he needed to do, he walked away. Because you know what? In order to enter this door, everything else has got to drop out of your hands. Amen. Everything else must be surrendered from your heart. Amen. The rich young ruler, he couldn't hang on to his money and hang on to Jesus at the same time. And this is what we talk about when we refer to someone needing to come to the end of themselves. How many times have you heard that in church? That somebody, you've got to come to the end of yourself. That you've got to turn from your sin. You've got to fully trust in the Lord. You've got to come to the end of yourself. And the thing is, you can't get there without God's help. You need Him to help you, to lead you through that process. You need Him to help you to repent. You need to help Him, ask Him to help you to have faith, to trust Him, to help you walk through that door. Because without Him, you can't do it. Because we'll hang on to everything else. The world wants to tell you that there's so many ways. The world is filled with religions all around us that, hey, if you'll just follow this path, then you'll get to heaven, that everybody's worshiping the same God. But I'll tell you that we're not worshiping the same God. There's only one true God. There's only one that the Father has sent to this earth. And He says, later on in this passage, He said, I and the Father are one. There's only one true God. There's only one way. There's only one door into heaven. There's only one way into the sheepfold of grace. It's through Jesus. You may be here tonight and say, surely I can get through there because of my mom and my dad. My grandma, my granddad. Surely I can get saved when I want to. Surely I don't have to humble myself before God and others. Jesus said, unless you humble yourself as a little child, He said, you will not enter in. He said, you'll be locked out. Let's consider what John says, this entrance that God has provided for us. Jesus paints a picture of the shepherd going through the door. And He says the porter, when he hears the shepherd's voice, he knows that the door is wide open. This beautiful picture, it says the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And they come in and out and find pasture. He says in verse 3, He calls His own sheep by name and He leads them out. Oh, what a tender, affectionate picture it is of Jesus with His people. You know that the Lord knows those that are His? He knows those that are His. Just like a shepherd over in ancient Israel, they would know the sheep that they had been given to take care of. They would have known them. They would have known if that one had gone astray. And And Jesus says, I know them. But He also tells us that them that He knows, that let them depart from iniquity. And so, even though we're His sheep, we too must run from sin. But Jesus says here, in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door. He says exclusively that I am the door. Ever since the beginning, God has been giving us this picture. There was only one way back into the Garden of Eden that I know of. There was only one way into the ark in Noah's day. There was only one way into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, when Moses was given the commandment to build the tabernacle, that you had to come by sacrifice. There was an altar and a laver and then the holy place. And then behind the veil, there was only one way. And it was so holy and so straight and so narrow that the high priest could only go in there one time a year. And he had to bring blood when he did that. God has been teaching us that there is only one way. Jesus, in order to get in that sheepfold, Jesus would lay down His life. I want you to get a picture of Him laying down His life here on earth, that He might allow us to be able to sit in heavenly places, that He might allow us to be in, that we would understand that He's the door, that if any man enters in any other way, he's a thief and a robber. But notice this invitation that Jesus gives. It's a glorious invitation. He says in verse 9, I am the door. I don't know how much clearer it can be. He says, I am the door. If you want to get in, don't knock on the door. Don't walk up to the door. Ask Him to help you walk all the way through the door that you might be in Christ. Oh, what a joy it is tonight to be in Christ. That therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new is come. But He says this is it's a narrow truth. He says, I am the door. He didn't say there's any other ways to get in. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name. There's only one Savior. You might say, preacher, does the invitation include me? What did Jesus say? I'm only here to tell you what Jesus said. He said, by me, if any man enter in. Isn't that wonderful? That means you tonight, that if you're here and unsaved and you're concerned about your soul, and I'll tell you, you need to be drawn by the Lord. The convicting power needs to be working on you, because the only way to really enter in is it's not a worldly sorrow that I kind of want to get in, or maybe I can get in or whatever. You've got to realize there's no other way. And oh, the godly sorrow of finding out, oh, I've been a sinner. Oh, God, have mercy on me, that, Lord, I can't enter in. I'm not worthy to be in. Lord, but if you will help me to get through there, I want to be in. Lord, please have mercy on me. I tell you, the door of grace is wide open tonight, but there's coming a day that the door is going to be shut, just like it was in the days of Noah. But tonight, I believe that door is open. He says, any man, oh, what a broad invitation He gives to us tonight. Whosoever will, let him come. That might mean you tonight. If God is drawing you, He's saying, hey, I want you to walk through the door. I want you to walk in to the sheepfold. I want you to be protected from all the enemies out there. I want you to know the way, the truth, and the life. He says, come in. Now notice this next thing that Jesus says. Oh, it's wonderful when we see what Jesus tells us. One of my sons asked me tonight, Dad, are you going to preach about the anchor tonight? And I said, I don't know, I guess he thought I'd preach about bread the other night, and I preached about light last night. He said, are you going to preach about the anchor? I said, not tonight, son. I'm going to preach about the door. Isn't it amazing how God has made it so simple and so plain? Some bread, some light, and now a door, He tells us. But He expounds glorious truths for us that if we would just hear them and walk through, because He says in this, if you walk through, enter in, he shall be saved. I'm going to get that anchor in there because he said there's an anchor that holds. There's an anchor that will give you this hope, this sure and steadfast hope that has entered into the veil that, oh, I tell you, sometimes I get to drifting out in life's sea and I wonder, Lord, am I still saved? Is the anchor still holding? And I'll tell you that I get a grip from heaven that lets me know that even when the undertow wants to take me under, that I know that God is there and God is real and I'm saved to the uttermost. Jesus says this is a sure salvation. Amen. He says you can know it. Past tense. Amen. He shall be saved. Oh, what a glorious truth. Which leads us to a glorious freedom. He says he shall go in and out and find pastor. You know what that's speaking of, I believe? I believe he's saying that we'll be at home. We'll be at home with God's sheep. Isn't it wonderful to be at home with God's people here tonight in the house of the Lord? That we can go in, we'll go out into the wilderness of the world, but the shepherd's voice, it keeps calling us back to gather together in the sheepfold at Victory Church Sunday and Wednesday. That God's Spirit and the voice of the shepherd, He keeps calling out. We may go out in the world when we see each other out there. It's a glorious thing to be one of His sheep. But I tell you that when we come in here, we're gathered in a place of safety, in a place of light, in a place where we can be fed. You might be here tonight and you've never shared your testimony. You may need to be a part of this sheepfold. You may need to be able to have a place where you can come and hear the great shepherd of the flock speak to you through His holy words. He said He shall come in, go in and go out and find pastor. But let me remind you tonight that there is a real enemy. He'll say, why don't you be like Cain? Why don't you be like those people in Noah's day? Why don't you continue to have the attitude that Naaman had when Elisha said to go dip in Jordan before he actually repented and turned to God in faith? The thief would actually tell you to be like, O King Agrippa. Paul told him in Acts 26, I believe, that I know you know the Scriptures. I know you believe the Scriptures, but here's what King Agrippa said. Almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. You may be here tonight, you may say, preacher, you preach the truth. I know God must be speaking. I believe He's speaking tonight. I believe He's knocking on doors of hearts. You might say, you might be like old King Agrippa, almost thou hast persuaded. You may be standing at the door, and the door to entering into the kingdom is wide open. But you may say, I'm not going to take any further step forward. You know, the Scriptures never tell us that King Agrippa ever got saved. Perhaps the door of invitation was shut for him that night, because if he heard the Apostle Paul preach, who wrote all these books in the New Testament, and he wasn't persuaded, I don't know who else could have persuaded him. Let that not be you, because Jesus says, I have an abundant life for you. If you'll walk through the door, if you'll trust me and walk by faith, you can enter the kingdom tonight, and there'll come a day that those everlasting doors of heaven, as Psalm 24 tells us, as the King of Glory entered in, when it comes time for us to pass from this life to the next. Don't we sing that song, "Sweet, swing wide the gates"? There's going to be a great entrance for the children of God. We may not have much here in this life, but I'll tell you, if you know Jesus tonight, He's granted you access by grace. If not for Jesus, we would all be locked out. We'd be kicking ourselves, wondering, there's got to be some other way. But with Jesus, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be in.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I can come in and go out and find Pastor.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I know where I'm going. All because of Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. If you're here tonight and God is knocking on your heart, will you hear His voice and come through the door? He's the door. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's gentle, meek, and lowly. But you'll have to come the same way, humble as a little child. But He will save you as we get a song and sing.